One of the guys who's devoted much of his adult life to trying to fix things and be fair to people is Delegate Todd Gilbert. He is the minority leader, the leader of the Republicans in the House of Delegates now, and he joins us this morning. I guess I should start, Delegate Gilbert, by asking you your reaction to Daniel Gade's victory, and now he'll be the Republican nominee taking on the Democrat incumbent in the U.S. Senate, Mark Warner.
Well, John, good morning. I'm
good
not
morning.
sure I'm the guest. I'm not sure I'm the right guest you want to have if you're trying to pivot to all things, lovely and beautiful. But
yeah, that was just
anyway,
30
I'm
seconds. Don't worry. We can get back to reality
okay.
Now.
Back to business. Daniel Gade is an impressive individual. He's going to be a great leader, and I'm proud that he's going to be carrying the Republican banner in the fall against Mark Warner. He's got a great story to tell, a wounded veteran, retired lieutenant colonel in the United States Army, and just has a very powerful voice for our values, and I think will give Mark Warner fits. And if he's not careful, we're looking at the next senator from Virginia.
Yeah, we may be in one of those moments where I think a lot of people thought, oh, Mark Warner's a shoe-in. There's no Republican who could beat him. But the reality on the street might make a lot of people who would normally contemplate voting for a Democrat think twice about it with what they're seeing right now. This is a bad spot we're in.
I hope that's true. The things that we have been trying to tell the public for years now about the hard lurch to the left that the Democratic Party, has done, that has also included Mark Warner. The idea that Mark Warner, he came into office as governor as this sort of moderate businessman, and that whole facade is coming off now because he is right there in the hardcore leftist mindset, at least in terms of his voting record. And I think the public finally needs to see it. And I say finally because Mark Warner had quite a scare last time he ran for re-election. So, things are different now.
His popularity has, I think, always been kind of soft, and now he's got to cater to the hardcore left wing elements of his party. The defund the police crowd, he's going to have to answer that question. And his own behavior when it comes to the national intelligence issues that have been laid bare. That may be a problem. Well, I don't want to burn up all of our time talking about national issues. Locally, you have expressed a lot of concern about the way the governor has put together these Wuhan coronavirus numbers. What exactly has happened or not happened? What concerns you?
I think the latest area of really deep concern is the fact that just last week he announced a reversal on a policy that he had on nursing home data. Early on in this virus, and how the public is dealing with it, we understood, not only in terms of what we were seeing at the outset in Washington State with a huge outbreak at a nursing home there, but right there in Richmond, a massive death toll at a single nursing home.
Right.
We understood that nursing homes housed the most vulnerable population in close quarters and should be really the focus of our efforts. We've seen, I think, something like 60% of the overall deaths in Virginia have been in nursing
homes.
And so what we knew at the beginning is totally been validated by what we've seen happen. And at the beginning, he said, we're not releasing data on nursing homes. We're not going to talk about that. It's illegal to talk about it. And then last Friday, in a Friday news dump, he just decided to reverse course on that completely and say that they are going to release that information. So if it was illegal to do 2 months ago, he's now breaking the law. If it wasn't illegal, he's got some explaining to do about why he wouldn't want to empower patients and their families with more information about the places where they're being housed
What do you
and
think the
where they,
motivation was? You think it was just shady politics, a way for him to keep control of the situation by keeping the numbers kind of obscured, or?
Yeah, that's certainly a valid thought. The more this goes on, the more I think that it's just incompetence. And I hate to say that about the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, especially at a time where we need his leadership. But it's been one thing after another where he has reversed course, changed his mind, altered his view, completely upended his policy. And this one is really sticking with me because of the fact that this is a population we knew needed a focus. Those nursing homes were getting conflicting information from the Department of Health. They still weren't getting the protective equipment they needed. This should have been the focus, and let us in society, use what we've learned about this to deal with it ourselves, to try to keep ourselves and our families safe. You worry about this vulnerable population, Governor, but instead he's worried about barbershops and bowling alleys. And the nursing homes have continued to have these massive death tolls. And
I like to be fair. I would have him on to respond, but of course his team won't even return emails now. So if you're too chicken to come on the radio and answer those questions, I can't be fair if you don't want to even respond. Hey, real quick before we go, because I am running out of time, what's your take on what's happening in Richmond? I guess Richmond is the focal point of the violence and the vandalism and the fires and everything, at least within the Commonwealth of Virginia. Is there a role for the state to get involved in this? I mean, it's been surprising to me that the governor, who happens to live right down the street from where much of this violence is happening, really is in an ivory tower called the governor's mansion, and it's kind of a passing concern to him. If I were the governor of Virginia, I think this would be a pretty important issue to deal with.
Well, he started to, say things like this can't continue. And
25 days later.
Yeah, but at some point, people cannot deface, burn, their way through a protest. If there is a discussion to be had about public policy, about monuments, about whatever it is, certainly our leaders in Richmond can engage, both the mayor and the governor can engage people appropriately about that. But just letting lawlessness reign, I think, is just shows how crippled they are with fear of their own base, really, that they can't even address law breaking in a way, in a meaningful way. So, it should disturb everybody that, we can have discussions about our history, about our future, but it should disturb everybody when lawlessness is the order of the day.
Yeah. Well, it concerns me if the Democrats actually think this is their base and they're catering to their base, the same people who are burning and destroying and ruining the lives of innocent people, some of whom are minority business owners and families. That's pretty pathetic. So I hope people will be paying attention. I really appreciate you coming on and actually fighting the good fight here and at least giving Virginians some options when they're making decisions. Delegate Todd Gilbert, the minority leader, represents Republican Party in the House of Delegates. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We're going to be talking about schools next, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, let's come on and talk about it. We're setting ourselves up for a real crisis in the fall, don't you think?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it next week or the following week as we get more details. I really appreciate that. A lot of parents are upset. Yeah, thank you.